It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guy on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
I like it. I'm giving director of sports Lucas Alexander a big round of applause. Maybe you're like, what, for what? But if you are a faithful listener of the show, you know that for the first time, boy, we snuck it in ahead of the buzzer.
Yep.
Because we're coming up on our 3-year anniversary. For the first time in 3 years, you're not going to hear Major League Baseball, you stink.
Well,
and you're not going to hear, for the first time ever, these two people are together on the radio, even though we've now been on the radio together for a really freaking long time. Ladies and gentlemen, a new show opened.
It's pretty exciting,
Willie and Dibby.
Yeah, I was in transition, so I didn't get the full version start to finish. Maybe we can play it 5:50 on our way out, so
there
I can get a full listen. But yeah, great job, Lucas and Grandy. You guys do so well back there.
That sounded disingenuous. Did you mean that?
No, I'm dead serious.
Okay.
They do a great job back there.
You and Grandy go back and forth with your relationship. So.
And the drop speaks for me better than I can speak for myself. I don't love Mark Grandy, but I respect him.
Okay, fair enough.
These
fair
are facts.
I respect the 49er team doctors. I respect Kyle Shanahan. I respect Christian McCaffrey. Obviously, this is their decision to make. I have no idea how his leg actually feels. I don't know how you're supposed to treat Achilles tendonitis. But we're going to lay out for all of you, we're going to lay out the information that we have that's up to the minute. Some of that is from doctors. Some of it is from Kyle. Some of it is from Christian. And then we're going to lay it out to you at 888-957-9570 and simply ask, based on all the info you have, what would you do? What is your game plan now, this year, for Christian McCaffrey, based on what we know in this moment? So you want to hear some things?
Let's do it.
All right. Let's dive in. Here's Kyle Shanahan with his latest general update on Christian McCaffrey.
Christian is still limited and not just out. I'm not a doctor, but I would read that as a positive sign for how he feels.
I'm not a doctor either, but I take that as positive.
Yeah. You agree?
Yes, I do agree. But I'm not a doctor.
Okay, so Kyle Shanahan and Matt Maiocco are lockstep, Dibs.
Right. He's limited. He's not out. He's limited. So he's at practice. Don't know exactly what he did, but he was out there running around. That's good news.
All right. Will Christian McCaffrey, has there been any thought to going on IR?
No, I've never considered that. Considered him to play last week, so definitely not thinking about 4 weeks off.
Okay, so throw that out. We're not thinking about a month from now. There's more optimism than that. Here's what Christian had to say with regard to his current state.
On Monday morning, just moving around a little bit. You know, I prepare every week to play. My mindset every week is I'm going to play. You know, there's been weeks where I'll go the full week, not even feeling good enough to do the walkthrough. And then I wake up and my body's capable of a lot of cool things. And, you know, mentally, I'm always prepared to play. And then woke up and it was a group decision, very tough one. I hate not playing, but look at it as a chess move and, you know, something that hopefully we can benefit from the rest of the season.
Okay. Doc Feely was on with us yesterday, cleared to play, and we pretty much talked to him solely about Christian McCaffrey because this is such a big deal. First of all, this is what Doc Feely had to say about the term Achilles tendonitis.
In many ways, a calf strain is going to be just as bad, if not worse, than the Achilles tendonitis. It really just depends on the severity of the tendonitis. All it really means is there's inflammation along the tendon, which as a 28 to 30-year-old running back with a lot of mileage, it's kind of expected he's going to get that at some point during his career, if not this year, next year. So I don't think it's the big deal. He's going to get a lot of treatment for it. I think it's important for him to be able to limit his reps during the season. I think we've seen that in the last couple of years. He's somebody that does a great job at a certain number of reps. And then if we have a suitable backup, that's even better.
Okay. You asked him about the surface for this week's game.
Yep.
Okay. This is true for next week's game too. Artificial surface. How does that affect this decision-making process?
The lower extremity injury rate is higher on turf than it is on grass. And if I'm playing on turf next week early in the season, I'm probably going to be a little bit extra conservative because I think it is a little bit riskier and it hurts a little bit more. Grass is softer.
Okay, that's all from Doc Feely.
Yep.
And then we have one more that we want to throw at you, and it comes from the Morning Roast, who I thought had a phenomenal conversation with Brian Baldinger this morning. Went all over the place. And a lot of positivity on the defensive and offensive line. My God, I think Baldy wants to maybe go away on a vacation with Dominic Pooney. Like, he loves him that much. He wants to travel with him now. Okay, I thought this was a really interesting comment. The Jordan Mason excitement has people thinking, hey, be patient. Like, the Niners can still be at a really high level without CMC. Baldy kind of threw some water on that.
But you can't play at the same level without Christian McCaffrey. Credit Jordan Mason and everything else on Monday night, but you're not going to play at the same level without him. He's just too much of a force for Kyle Shanahan to move around and put in different positions and exploit matchups in the passing game. But, you know, he has this history now, and I'm the biggest Christian McCaffrey fan there is. But he has this history. He had 400 touches 1 year in Carolina, and he was banged up for much of the next two seasons.
All right. So that is all on the table for you. Not thinking about IR. He participated in practice today. Though limited, it's only Wednesday. The start of the practice week, Christian participated. You heard what Doc Feely said about turf, about limiting reps. You heard what Brian Baldinger said about how the 49ers cannot be the full 49ers without Christian McCaffrey. So, Dibs, all of that is on the table, and we put it out to you callers, 888-957-9570, our question of the day. With all of that in place, what is your game plan for Christian this year?
For this week in particular, he doesn't play. And for the year, I am not going to rush him back until he is. And again, 100% is such a nebulous thing to say because nobody's ever 100%. I know me now in my mid-50s, I haven't been 100% for probably two decades. So McCaffrey, late in his NFL life, is he ever 100%? No. I would wait until he feels either no pain, no tendonitis, no calf strain, nothing like that. And I do think back-to-back turf games could be a recipe for not disaster, that's too dramatic, but for re-injury or for more additional soreness. So if I could take two turf games and make it one turf game, maybe even zero turf games, I would not play him on Sunday. I would look to the Ram game, divisional game, more important in the grand scheme as the place where I would think about having him have a debut.
Okay, couple questions based on what you're saying. A little bit of a devil's advocate here. Yep. You want him to feel all the way better before you play him. What if he never feels all the way better?
Then you get to a point where you have to go out there and give it a shot anyway. And if he's not getting worse, if he's going to stay at this number, and I don't know what the number is, Kyle Shanahan saying IR is not on the table. So that tells me that it's not too severe. I know we've talked a lot about Doc Chow, who is an NFL doctor to the stars and a guy who's on social media, and he mentioned that severe Achilles tendonitis can lead to a rupture.
Yep.
So if this was, and I'm not a doctor, I haven't seen the scan, but for me, if this was a severe case of tendonitis, then you wouldn't even be talking about him potentially playing this week. So I do think the tendonitis is something that probably can be maintained or contained with a little bit more rest. So I would try rest first before rushing him back there.
Okay, again, 888-957-9570. With all that you now know, what is your game plan this year for Christian McCaffrey? I see someone on the YouTube chat who literally just said, and it's Jay Passer, thank you for listening, thank you for watching. I agree, Dibs, play him when he's ready to play. Next man up. All right? Again, devil's advocate.
Yeah.
He says he's ready to play right now.
He does, yeah.
So what does that mean, play him when he's ready to play?
Well, it comes to the doctors
and
the medical.
Who?
Exactly. Yeah. Really the doctors. Because Christian McCaffrey, and we talked about this in the crossover, his mindset is that he's going to play. Thank God that's his mindset. Because you want football players to be of a mindset that they're going to play. If the medical shows that he's not fully able to do everything he needs to do, you can wait. You can wait till week 3 or 4, 5, whatever week that is where he actually is not showing these ill effects of an injury, then you can play him. And I know it's hard to, you can't quantify it.
Right.
And the other side of it is you have a player who is desperate to play. The dude wants to play football. It's what he does. And I would bet that the coach is in his office thinking, man, I sure would love to have Christian McCaffrey.
It'd be good.
It's exactly what Baldy was saying. Like, having him on the field opens up so many things for so many other people. Just the gravity of McCaffrey in the pass game. You don't have that yet with Jordan Mason.
No, the Niners with McCaffrey, it's like the age-old dazed and confused question. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Like, dude, you got any? No, I don't. Sorry, man. Ugh, it'd be a lot cooler if you did. Hey, Niners, you got any McCaffrey in there? You don't? Man, it'd be a lot cooler if you did.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're a lot cooler with Christian McCaffrey. And I just go back and forth with that idea of how can you protect a football player when he's playing football, especially a running back? I just don't think you can. Now, I'm not flippant about this.
No.
If the guy's got pain in his Achilles, and I'm with you, and a doctor says no go, obviously that's a no go. But I'm going to, like, my game plan would be this. I am going to lean back on the name of our segment with Dr. Pandya and Dr. Feely. Cleared to play. And when he is cleared to play, he plays. But my only caveat would be this, and it actually has nothing to do with Achilles tendonitis. I want Jordan Mason to get 5 to 7 carries anyway. I thought that 3 weeks ago. I thought that 5 weeks ago. I like Jordan Mason. I've always liked Jordan Mason. And now that everybody got a little taste, everybody dipped their toe into the water there with Jordan Mason, now we all feel differently about him. The curiosity we had has now been answered. Yeah, he can play. He can be a running back. And he's not going to hurt your team. He can take a drive here or there, entire drive.
Yeah, more than just a series.
So to me, I'm going to reserve the big touches game for Christian McCaffrey. I'm going to do that in emergency break glass when necessary. Are we tied in the fourth quarter against the Cowboys? Is this a playoff game? What have you? But my game plan, my thought going into every game for the rest of the year, if you're cleared to play, you play. But I am going to try to, I'm going to try to avoid 20 to 25 or 30 touch games whenever possible. And that's less really about Christian's leg, and it's more about just keeping Jordan involved.
Sure.
Also, and I think that's a good game plan.
When I look at the history of Christian McCaffrey, and I'm looking just at his regular season game log, and he's played in 91 of them, and there aren't a ton of games where he has more than 20 carries. Now, he will get, you know, 4 to 10 catches in a game, depending on how the offensive flow is going, but I do think no matter when you play him for the first time, you're going to slow play his touches. You saw it with Ayuk. He didn't play a full rack of snaps as a receiver because he's getting back into shape. So if McCaffrey does play Sunday, you fantasy owners, you're going to have to probably grin and bear it because I don't think that he will get more than 15 carries or 15 touches in this first game back.
You wouldn't think.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be surprised.
People get eased in. If you're not up to snuff in the preseason and your name's not Trent Williams, you get eased in. Now, every position is different, right? Ayuk is a complimentary type of a piece that needs to have a vibe with Brock Purdy. Christian McCaffrey's a little bit different. Here's the ball, go run. It's kind of like why rookie running backs usually can get up to speed quicker than rookie wide receivers. So maybe that's different, but you're probably right. You probably ease into it. The question we're asking, with all we know, what is your Christian McCaffrey game plan now this year? 888-957-9570. Let's go to Dave in Fresno first up. Hi, Dave. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for taking my call. Like, do my best to answer the question. And if I'm Shanahan and I'm the 49ers, and this is even with 100% McCaffrey even before the injury, I just think we need more of a committee approach. I think we could have used that last year. Like you said, Willard, that a lot of people have been fans of Mason. We just wanted to see more. You know, correct me if I'm wrong, we were dead last in pass attempts last year. So that would say the running game is a pretty important part of this offense. So I mean, you look at games last year where they played the Cardinals and they're trying to get in the record, they're up 15 points and he's still back there. I think we need to avoid those situations. Even if it's Mason, who's the bell cow? I'm not comfortable seeing any running back get 28 carries, especially when the game's kind of out of reach. You know, I just think we need to be more mindful. If Galindo's not healthy or not the option, we need to get a third guy. This time, and it even goes to Debo. You know, avoiding those handoffs up the middle with Debo. These are risky plays. I know it's football. You can get hurt any time during the game, but Shanahan, you know, you're a great play caller, but just got to time and place some of these play calls with these players. And you guys already kind of spoke to it. Just we need to have more variety, more have a plan for Mason, too, when McCaffrey comes back, which I think is pretty obvious. And I know Shanahan, he likes when the hot hand is going, he likes to stay with it, you know. And to your point, Willard, let's save that for the big game, for the playoffs. You know, that'd be the smart thing to do. But, again, I just think more of a committee approach, because people say in this offense, any running back, you know, can be effective. So let's see that theory. Let's put it to the test.
Well, Dave, thank you so much. It's a good call, but it's also a fine line what we're talking about here.
It is.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to also acknowledge, like, I really like Jordan Mason, and I want Christian McCaffrey healthy, but you're also right. Like, you cannot protect a player playing football. And Kyle Shanahan would be a moron, quite frankly, to not use a healthy Christian McCaffrey as much as he possibly can. He's phenomenal. And you want him out there as much as possible. So it's a big draw. You know, like, here's the other thing, and I agree with Steiny, was kind of indicating this. I agree with him. I don't think football coaches do what we fans do, which is, dude, you play in Minnesota. It's fine. You don't need your best players. Coaches don't think that way, and they're right, we're wrong.
Exactly.
That's why survivor pools are so hard. All this crap about, oh, you could beat them. They're an NFL team, and they won last week. I know they played the Giants, but maybe they're really good. I don't know.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, it's week one.
Well, they're going to treat Minnesota like they're really good because you have to. You can't look past anybody in the NFL because ultimately one bounce of the football or one missed block, as we saw in the Super Bowl last year, things can change in a heartbeat in any game. So this is not when you're a college juggernaut going up against an FCS team that was winless the year before and you're going to win by 70.
We're sponsored by Chilton Auto Body, and there's a couple things coming up next. First of all, more of you. Our question of the day, everything you now know from Shanahan, from Doc Feely, from Christian himself, what's your game plan now for Christian McCaffrey this year? We'll take your calls at 888-957-9570. Also, there's more you actually haven't heard from Christian, and he specifically answers the effect of turf this weekend and next with regard to any decision they make. We'll play that for you coming up next on Willard and Dibs.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
Just so everybody's clear, the bet has been paid off. George Kittle did his entire interview session today in an Iowa State helmet.
Perfect.
Iowa State beat Iowa.
Yep.
Last weekend. Brock Purdy, George Kittle have a little bet. Loser has to do their interviews on Wednesday next week in the helmet of the other team. So George Kittle, all about Iowa State today.
Yeah, it's great, and you love to see it. And I actually was watching that game, and good on Iowa State for pulling that thing out late. That was a fun game to watch.
Why is Iowa playing Iowa State in the first week of September? That's my question.
Because it's a non-league game.
And yeah, so it's a rivalry game, isn't it?
Sure. But you,
they do it every year in like the third week of the season.
Yeah, I'll ask
Colorado,
again.
Colorado
are they
State
doing that
this weekend? So
yeah, save those suckers.
Oregon's playing Oregon State on Saturday.
Well,
non-conference.
Exactly.
Well, that's what Iowa and Iowa State is.
But that's stupid. They used to play the Civil War, and sorry for calling it that. I know you're not supposed to anymore, but like they used to play that thing at the end every year.
Yeah, it was a Thanksgiving tradition.
Yes.
But
yes,
you're not in the conference anymore, so you
right,
can't.
Right, because the conference has been inexplicably blown up. So
Colorado State this week as well.
Yeah. I already
thanks for listening to the show, Director of Sports Lucas Alexander is joining us here on the program.
How about that show?
That's pretty good. You ride that as long as you can.
That's so like 2:15. That's so like it's over. You know what I mean? Anyway, all right. Question of the day: we lay out for you all the things that you now know about the McCaffrey situation. What's your game plan for him the rest of the year? You're going to hold him out a few more weeks? Do you want fewer carries no matter what? Or, dude, turn and burn, let's ride. When he's ready, let's go. Let's go right back to Christian the way it was last year. 888-957-9570. We want to play a little bit more Christian for you.
Okay, bonus McCaffrey.
So he's kind of like what you said, right? You loved that he said, my mentality.
Yeah, mentality. He's ready to go.
What I'm going
to
play. Take a listen to this.
You know, I'm not lying. I think as soon as a player says, you know, maybe I'll play, maybe I won't, that's not a good mentality to go into a week with, you know, when you're kind of on the fence. So for me, I'm ready to go.
Okay. I don't want to be on the fence. That's not a good place to be. So I'm ready to go.
Yeah, perfect. And if the doctors agree, Shanahan for sure would agree with that because he's one of your best players. And so he goes out there and he plays. And I do think if he plays this week, pitch count is not a real fair thing to look at because I think he'll be limited in that sphere in this first game back with no camp. But beyond that, if he's going to play, I've got no problem with him going out there and getting more than 20 touches in a game, if that's the arbitrary number that people want to freak out at. I was looking at his game log for his career, and he's gone over 20 touches in a game, I think 36 of 94 regular season games.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah.
That's interesting, because you said last year it was 14 of his 18?
Right, 14 to 20, and I guess he sat one, so 14 to 19.
Sorry, yeah.
It's about right. I'm just looking at his log here, and he's only had 17 games where he's had 20 or more carries. And then you add in the other games where, you know, usually 17 or 18 carries and usually 3 to 6 catches. So he's been over 20 about a third of the time.
I don't really have an issue with using Christian McCaffrey as a bell cow, even this year. I'll tell you the only thing that I saw last year that I think there were moments that I questioned, it was Christian in the game when the Niners were up 3 scores. Like that would be another thing I would sort of add into this. If you're in the fourth quarter and you're up by 3 scores, hit the showers, dude. Hit the showers. You won that game. I don't even know why, like, Nick Bosa was on the field against Tyrod Taylor last week. The whole starting defense was. I don't know what that's all about. I mean, I get that you know, maybe you just don't have all the players, but like, get your stars out of the game when that thing is cooked. And when you've got a minute and a half left and you're up, let's see, what would it have been? 32-13?
Correct.
Yeah. Nick, go sit down. That's the only thing that I got with Kyle as far as decisions with playing time.
How about Jordan Mason? Similarly, in a game where you don't have McCaffrey, and right now he's your only real trustworthy running back. You didn't give Garendo a carry, and Taylor Jr. didn't get a snap, so you had just him. You couldn't give Garendo like three or four late ones just to get him in the flow?
Kyle Shanahan was asked today about Jordan Mason and handling the big workload.
When I've seen him, he hasn't mentioned anything. The trainers haven't mentioned anything. That's what I was kind of explaining on training camp that I thought was so impressive, having so many guys out and how hard he went each day and the way his body really never changed. So he ran so hard in that game, and he seems good to go.
See, I wonder if you noticed something subtle there about the way Kyle answers these questions. Like, I think we in our mind, because we all think they're all like kumbaya and good friends and everything, in our mind we think Kyle is sitting there talking to guys every day, and then on the sideline he's going, all right, let's see, so Jordan's at 19 touches, I really don't want him to have 20, we better, that's not the way he thinks. Kyle's like, Jordan didn't say anything to me, the doctors didn't say anything to me, we good.
Right.
Go play football.
And honestly, in real time, I don't even think that it's something that he is thinking about. And that's a Bobby Turner call, the running back coach. And Bobby Turner is going to be the one primarily who makes these calls on substitutions. Now, if McCaffrey plays this Sunday, there'll be a plan. Okay, we'll give him the first two or three series, and then we'll go to Mason for a drive. And we'll go, you know, for three and one, three, one, something like that, where you're going to split it up. But in this case, last week, it's Jordan's doing great. And they have no answer for him, and we haven't seen Garendo yet, so let's just go ahead and keep feeding him. And I do think that that's more of a Bobby Turner running back coach call than, I don't think Kyle's micromanaging the substitutions at every position, you know?
By the way, speaking of every position, Greg Cosell, our guy from NFL Films, is 20 minutes away. This will be every Wednesday at 3 o'clock, and Greg is better than anybody in the business as far as taking you inside the film, looking at individuals. So Jordan Mason and Dominic Pooney and Trent Williams and Brandon Ayuk will go through all of it and then also get a little preview of what's coming up this weekend. For instance, what did he see on film with Sam Darnold in his first game back as a starting quarterback? So we're going to have all of that coming up in 20 minutes. We promised McCaffrey's answer about turf. Okay, you got artificial surface this week. How does that affect this whole thing?
Yeah, if you can't run on turf, you can't run on the field. If you can't run on grass, can't run on turf. If you can go, you can go.
If you can go, you can go.
Yep. Yeah, I get it. And that's got to be the mentality. You can't go out there in week two and think, geez, my Achilles, I got this tendonitis. I can't cut hard on my left because I don't want the thing to blow on this artificial surface. He's got to have that mentality. I do think that history and medical people would tell you that the turf is going to be more taxing on the body than grass.
Sure, but I mean,
Doc Feely said it perfectly. Yeah, grass is softer.
Yeah,
which I thought was great.
I've heard, and you know, but at the same, you can pop an everything on natural grass too.
No doubt.
Like for instance, what if? And I don't even know if these numbers are right, but let's play with that for a second. Like, let's say Christian McCaffrey is like, yeah, we're good to go. You're cleared to play, and doctors are like, 95% chance everything is totally fine if you go out there and play. And they go, well, what about on turf? And then they're like, well, that goes down to 90%. Is that, like, what's the gap that makes you go, I'm not doing it because it's turf? Because I have to imagine, as much as it is harder on the body, does it actually have a huge effect changing the chances of an injury in one specific game? I'm not a doctor, but I'd guess no. I would guess no. Like, if you're saying, what risk are you taking on turf that you're not taking on grass? I would argue that the risk is probably pretty similar.
Depending on the surface, and not every artificial surface has been created equally. And I was just curious as to what Minnesota has, and they've got UBU Speed Series SSM synthetic turf.
What'd you say to me?
Standard. It's your standard turf. But
okay.
And I think about New York and the field that they have at MetLife, Field Turf Core, that thing is a booby trap. That thing's a clap trap. And New Orleans, the surface they play on, is basically concrete. So every surface is different. Like the Rams, to me, and I haven't actually played on it, but just from the naked eye, it looks a little bit more like grass, like a softer turf than
brand new.
New York, yep. New Orleans, Minnesota. So all fields are not created equally, and I'm sure the medical team is looking at all these angles.
So 888-957-9570, everything you know. What's your game plan for Christian McCaffrey this year? We'll be taking your phone calls on this throughout the afternoon. The more that I think about it, I very few things in life are black and white. That's just not the way things actually are, even though we like to think of them that way because it's easier. I do think there's a little bit of that here, at least from Kyle's standpoint. I do think you almost have to dumb it down. Kyle's like, look, is he ready? Is he ready? Okay, then we're going. Yeah. Like, we're not going to have Kyle Shanahan over there with a box score. You know what I mean? PR's not going to come through after every quarter. Here's a fresh box score, coach. Here you go. Yep, he's up to 16 touches. 16 touches. Oh, and he had to block three times as well. So, you know, you can't do that. If the guy's ready to go, you got to go. And I don't look at any of these games as less important than other games. They're all important. They're all losable. They're all losable, and I do blend what we're talking about up against what I've sort of heard from everybody all off season. All in on this year.
Yep.
No excuses. Super Bowl or bust.
There he is.
I don't want to worry about. Why would you worry about next year? Next year's next year. Worry about next year. Next year. Like if that's
I'm more worried about January than okay. I am next year.
Okay. Well, and he's already gotten a month off that the rest of the guys didn't get.
Right. And it hasn't necessarily gotten better to where he can play football. So for me, you've given him a month off through camp and preseason, and now week one he's sat. So why all the rush? If he needs a couple, two, three more weeks, then so be it. To where you can get back on grass fields, which I believe are going to be softer on the body, and it's going to make it a little bit easier for him to deal with a tendonitis situation.
Yeah, I just don't. I don't know that's what's actually reality. You know what I'm saying?
You never know.
Well, of course, but there you go.
You never know.
You never know. So this idea that I know is out there, just save him. Save him a few more weeks. What does that do? And by the way, how would everybody feel if they had lost Monday?
You'd feel a little bit differently.
Would you?
If Jordan Mason went out and played like a backup is supposed to, which would be 16 carries for 51 yards and a fumble, if he did what he was supposed to do, Mark, and you lose that game,
yeah.
You're feeling differently about rushing him back because you know teams that start out 0-2 before expansion, 11%. Make the playoffs.
Right, but then 49ers, I'm pretty sure, checks notes, are not going to start 0-2 this year.
Correct, yeah.
All right, what if they lose this one? What if he doesn't play and they lose this one?
Then you may think about more urgency against the Rams. I personally don't, because I look at the long game of the season, and I think we're going to be here in December and January. We should be a player in the playoffs. I'd rather have him be fresh then than, you know, rush him back now and have him be a little bit more run down when we get into those big games.
Let's talk about his workload then moving forward. Doc Feeley with us yesterday.
I think when you look at his usage rate last year, he was 18 to 22 touches a game, maybe up to 25. 28 carries for Jordan Mason was the most a Kyle Shanahan player has ever had in a game. So ideally, you have him in the 15 to 20, and I think that's totally reasonable. I think the other nice thing is as soon as you put him out there, even if he's not the first, second, or third option, he's a decoy because he's so good. So I think once he gets out there, he will play. I think the athletic training staff and the medical staff is doing everything right. You take it slow with him now, especially if you're going to win a couple games with his backup. It's a long season. You know, it's hopefully is another season that goes well into February. You want him fresh and you want him feeling as good as possible. And we know all these players don't feel 100% by the end of the year. So you want to conserve him as much as possible for the second half of the year and into the playoffs.
I see. That's it. To me, look, he is a doctor, but that's a funny thought to me. Conserving him. I don't know how you conserve a football player.
You don't play him as much and you don't give him the ball as often. And thereby, he doesn't have as many plays where he's getting tackled and contacted.
And then in December, he gets a helmet to the knee and it explodes. And that's that.
Never know, though. But I mean, you put yourself in the best place to maybe succeed later in the year. And you could look at McCaffrey last year in the playoffs. Looked like he was, you know, slowing down a little bit.
Did it?
I think so.
What were his numbers? Do you have them in front of you?
I'll pull them up. Just looking at touches. Last year, 339. The year before, 329. Those are his last two seasons. And the year before, obviously, was a combined year with what he had done in Carolina. Yeah. His numbers right here. Playoffs, he had three games and 89 yards a game in the playoffs. And he had 19 catches in three games, so 6.3 catches a game.
He averaged 5.4 yards per carry in the regular season. He averaged 4.5 yards per carry in the postseason.
Okay.
So he went down almost a yard per carry, small sample size.
Yard per target, he was at 6.1 yards per target. And during the regular year, he was at 6.8.
Yeah, pretty similar. Pretty similar. And
one gigantic fumble, which I don't know if I would attribute that fumble to being fatigued.
He scored five touchdowns in three games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he looked like Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
I thought. He looked like Christian McCaffrey.
Well, and again, you're dealing with a player now who's in his eighth year. So, you know, there is some wear and tear that's gone on with McCaffrey and his body. And I think that it's prudent when you think about what he did at Stanford and how much he ran there. And you start to look at all of his carries from college and the pros. Now, college carries aren't as rigorous as NFL carries, but he toted the ball a lot at Stanford.
No doubt.
In his 3 years. So I think about an older player. He's not older. He's not even 30 yet. But, you know, he's a running back. And it might be prudent to try to limit him early so you have a better version late.
It's risky. I hear you.
I feel heard.
Well, I hear you. I just don't know if it actually does that. Like, maybe that would have been a good question, or we can ask Pandia or Feely that next week. Like, what is the actual payoff of, like, I understand the idea of going easy when someone's returning or if they haven't had camp. But just in theory, let's say Christian is totally healthy right now. Does, like, chilling with a lower tote rate week 2, 3, 4, 5, if you do that, what's the payoff for week 17, 18, and playoffs?
Right.
Does that actually equal anything, or are you just praying, basically?
I wonder if they've done biometric studies on that. Dr. Pandia, I think, would have a good sense of that. He occasionally will do these research projects where he looks stuff up. And
yep.
I'm looking at the total touches from McCaffrey last year, 417, including the postseason. And I wonder when a player gets to 350 or 400 touches in a year, if there is a drop-off at that point in productivity.
Hmm.
Part of it is, and I'm going to point this out, that you're playing better teams. So you're playing good defenses, and you're in the playoffs.
100%.
Detroit, Green Bay, and Kansas City were your three opponents, and they're good teams because they're still playing in the playoffs.
Well, the only time he averaged under 4 yards a carry was the Super Bowl. That's it. And that was easily the best defense.
Yep.
That they played, at least in the postseason. One of the better defenses in the entire league. 888-957-9570. I'm not trying to pin you here, but let me ask you.
I didn't know we were wrestling.
No, I want to understand two answers. Because 3-4 weeks ago, you sat here and kind of made fun of us.
Oh, big time.
Okay, fine. You made fun of us.
You and Steiny.
And Guru.
Oh, that's right. I was me.
You made fun of the whole room simply because, and I wasn't even arguing against it, I simply didn't understand the idea of playing Brock Purdy in the preseason with non-teammates, you know, second stringers,
right?
Whatever. All the other first stringers were sitting. And he played Brock Purdy. I thought it was a head scratcher. Now, your thought was, hey, you know, Foofy Four, let's go. They're football players.
Yeah, he's healthy.
You play.
When you're healthy, yeah.
But what if Christian is healthy?
Well,
he's saying he's healthy.
Then you play him. I personally don't think that he is, quote, healthy. Brock Purdy was 100% healthy, and he wanted to get some reps. So you play him. And you played him behind twos and threes, and you trusted him to stay safe, and he did. Christian McCaffrey is clearly not healthy. He couldn't play in preseason games, and he was unable to go in week one. So for me, it's apples and oranges. If McCaffrey is healthy and the doctors say, yeah, he's healthy enough to play, play him. I'll be holding my breath because he's pretty important.
I mean, I do that anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of every NFL season. I did it the other night when Debo went on that end around and got flipped up, got hit hard in the leg,
yeah.
And he threw the ball up in the air, and then he just kind of sat, and there was a Jet player that got hurt. I think it was the one who hit him.
Yeah, that was on our side of the, yeah. of the stadium. I was looking right at Debo. He took a knee.
And he just sat there.
Just sat there.
He wasn't laying down, but he just sat there. And the crowd started to chant his name. And I was holding my breath. Like, there's at least one of those every game, isn't there? Playoffs against Minnesota, the first Super Bowl year, whatever that was, 4 or 5 years ago. Bosa goes down. Crowd starts chanting his name. Eventually, he gets up, runs off the field. Place goes nuts. But, yeah, we're going to have those. We're going to have that. It happened with Christian. It happened with Trent. Happens with Debo. It feels like 4 times a year. George in the Super Bowl.
Dre Greenlaw in the Super Bowl. Wow.
You didn't have any chance to hold your breath on that one. It was just out of breath immediately.
Right, and that was one where, you know, the turf field at practice was kind of aggravating his Achilles, and then it just went. And I'm not saying if a guy's got an Achilles that hurts, you never play him, but if he's healthy and he gets cleared, play him.
Let's go.
You're not going to give him 25 touches. I would rather them not play him against Minnesota. See about the Rams. If you're 2-0, maybe you get the Ram game too, and we'll see you on grass, bro. Yeah, you can play on the grass.
Go ahead and keep that.
Yeah.
Go ahead and keep that. Mac T.
Grandy didn't like it.
In the Yoon is on Willard and Dibs. Mac T, what's up? What are you doing?
Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah, I think you have to be gratuitously conservative with CMC. The research and everything shows that when running backs turn 28, they just deteriorate really badly. I believe that's his age. The other thing that's not really been mentioned is, like, you know, we're talking about the touches. If he's a starting running back, what about all the times he has to block and he has to hit an NFL linebacker? Like, that takes mileage off as well. Additionally, his dad had him, like, running sleds when he was, like, 5 years old. And he has these crazy workout routines, which is awesome. But, you know, for somebody that's 28, I think his mileage is probably, like, 150,000 miles. So I think you just have to really, really, really be conservative, more so than you would think.
Yeah, see, I don't agree with that. Mac T, thank you very much. I get where you're coming from. But
sleds at 5, I like it.
Two things.
The parenting.
Okay, 2 things, right? Like, Christian McCaffrey is 28. That means he's about to slow down. I would argue Christian's different. I think we've already seen it. Not only is he more talented, I think he's in better shape than the next guy. I don't expect Christian McCaffrey to fall off of a cliff just because he's 28. We have seen exceptions. Every running back's different. Sometimes it's 30. Sometimes it's 32, Curtis Martin. Other guys, it's 25. You know what I mean? You see guys fall off the cliff at different times. Now, the idea, though, of mileage, like, do you have a car? You have a car?
Got a Honda Fit.
Mark. Okay.
130,000 miles on it.
Do you drive it?
Yeah, it doesn't run like it used to.
Okay, but do you
still
drive
pretty
it?
Good, of course.
Okay, are you like, oh, it's got 130,000 miles on it. I should stop driving it so that 3 years from now, I can still drive it. The whole point of having a player in his prime is to use him. Like, I'd argue, this is what's amazing. If Christian's about to fall off a cliff physically, use him more. Use him more.
That sounds mean-spirited.
Well, no. Like, get every last drop out of his prime.
I'm with you, but...
If he's about to go down, then let's have his usage go down when he's not as good in 2 years.
Well, then let's just use him in December and January. That's my argument, is, yes, if you think that he's starting to deteriorate, and there's no evidence to that fact yet, but you look at his overall touches since Stanford, and he's over 2,500 touches. So it's not about the years and the age. For me, it's about the touches. And, you know, 2,500, I wonder what the line is for some of the greats where their total touches, when they reached a number of those, that they started to fall off. It's not about how old you are. It's about how much you've done already.
Well, but he's already surpassed so many running backs as far as that. Like, how many running backs even get this opportunity anymore in the NFL?
Yeah.
So if that's the case, we have to turn the faucet off now.
You don't have to turn the faucet off, but save water for December. That's all I'm saying.
I just don't know if it works. Where's the data that works? You know what I mean? Like, who, the only team I can think of in pro sports to try to do anything like that was the Nationals with Steven Strasburg. where there was this idea of like, yeah, we got a certain number and we got, you know what I mean? Like when it's over, it's over. And so we got to try to like slow play this. I just don't know if saving him actually helps in any sort of a significant percentage kind of a way. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. There's only one person out there who can answer the question, like, what is the statistical data drop-off of a Christian McCaffrey team to whatever happens next? Jordan Mason, the way Brandon Ayuk played, Dominic Pooney, how about Sam Darnold? All of that stuff comes from NFL Film Zone, Greg Cosell, who joins us every week at 3 o'clock. We do that next on Willard and Dibbs.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.